Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, we do have something to sing about. Those burdens that did roll away. It always takes me back, you know, that wonderful day. And we all have those reference points that we've given our lives to the Lord. And, you know, really, it's so true. I didn't know how I was going to get rid of those sins. It was like they were there. And, you know, even though Mom and Dad were Christians, I didn't know how to get rid of them. It just didn't seem like there was anything I could do of myself at all. But praise the Lord, that night he called me. Wow, that was so wonderful all at once. I could see, I could understand. I could go forward. You know, I could kneel down. You know, I could pray. And praise the Lord, not only did I give my life to the Lord, but he filled me with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. That was a wonderful day. And yes, that burden, I still remember how terrible it was to, you know, have that burden on you all the time, that big thing on your back that you couldn't get rid of. You know, it just wouldn't go away. But praise the Lord, it's such a wonderful thing when the Lord calls us. Oh, yes, we could finally give it over to him and let him take it and let him bear it and let him forgive us. All those wonderful things. That burden of sin is heavy. Oh, yes. Of course, he was sending us to hell, but praise the Lord, there was a way that was made. And in our Heavenly Father, oh, yes, put on flesh to come to this world to redeem us and to set us free. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, we can rejoice. We do have something to sing about. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're just going to pray and ask the Lord to move here tonight. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again that we can come before thee, Lord. Oh, Lord, I marvel so often at that marvelous grace that you've given us, Lord, and that we can come boldly to that throne of grace. Oh, Lord, that we can lay down those heavy things, God, and that you made a way, that you called us. And, Lord, oh, God, I ask that you would call tonight. Oh, God, I ask, oh, Lord, that your Spirit, oh, Lord, would move in a mighty and definite way, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, you will draw unto yourself here tonight, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that these words would not go to the ground, but, oh, Lord, that you'd give us understanding, Lord. As the scripture goes forth, Lord, oh, God, that you'd bring it forth, Lord, and that you'd give understanding. Oh, God, we stand here in need tonight. Oh, God, we need of thy strength. We need of thy power. We need of thy ability, Lord. We know that we can do nothing without you, Lord. We know the necessity to abide in the vine, Lord, oh, God, and to stay close to thee. I pray, oh God, that you talk to us, to lead and guide. Oh God, you show us the things that we need to see, that you'd open up our understanding. Pray again, Lord, that you would call tonight, Lord. Oh God, that wonderful call. When, oh Lord, you gave us, oh Lord, that ability, oh God, to bow the knee and to surrender the heart and to give our lives to thee, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you would move in a mighty way here tonight, Lord. Oh God, take over. Take charge. Oh God, be here to lift the heavy burdens. Oh God, to give peace, Lord, to answer the prayers of your children, Lord. Oh God, to heal those that are afflicted, God, to bring deliverance to them that are bound. Oh God, to set those free that, oh God, have never yet come to thee. Oh God, we ask this, Lord. We ask, oh Lord, that you'd also fill with the Holy Ghost. Oh Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Oh, it is a wonderful thing. Oh, yes, to be free from sin. Oh, praise the Lord. I started a study last week, and didn't really get all that far, to tell you the truth. But by the grace of God, we're going to work with this again tonight. I had called that Show Us the Father, and we'll just see how the Lord helps us here tonight to give understanding and to lead us here in the scripture. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. We're going to, again, just to get a running start, go to John the 14th chapter and read those verses. And I don't expect to say everything I said, of course, last week, and I covered some other territory last week, but see what we can accomplish here tonight. Praise the Lord by the grace of God. John chapter 14, so familiar but so dear. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in verse 1, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him." Oh boy, did this sound strange to them. Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." Okay, I'm going to stop right there, but praise the Lord. You know, this has been a question that has been pondered, that same question that Philip asked. I have a feeling there's been many others that, well, maybe didn't even ask that question, but they came to other conclusions or made other assumptions in reality. But often I think there are characteristics of God that aren't understood. And you know, we mentioned these, and I'm just going to briefly say them again. The fact that is well established throughout the Old Covenant is that he is one. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." They're from Deuteronomy 6:4 and Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Of course, the fact that God is a spirit. And this is something that a lot of people don't understand in reality. They want to say there are three persons in the Godhead. Well, that's not true at all. There's one person in the Godhead, the man Christ Jesus, because God is a spirit. As it tells us in John 4:24, "And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." And of course, Jesus clarified that in the 24th chapter of Luke, when there he astonished his disciples, those that were in that room, and I think it was probably locked, and you know, they didn't expect this at all, but Jesus, after he had been raised from the dead, suddenly appeared in that room. And they were frightened, it tells us in the scripture, Luke 24, and you know, they thought that they were seeing a spirit. But Jesus clarified that. He said, "A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And you know, again, that clarifies the point. God is a spirit. And you know, it was only through the man Christ Jesus that he has flesh. And praise the Lord, God being a spirit, and everywhere, at every time, and it's so astonishing and so amazing that, you know, how so profound, how can we even begin to comprehend God in that sense? one that can know all things and can hear all things and can be all places at the same time. And, you know, there's nothing that's held from his understanding. But there was something that he sought to do, and I hope I bring this out. And I hope, you know, it will never leave you, the fact that God, in his amazing mercy for his creation, for human life, that he was willing to put on flesh and come to this world for the cause of saving us from our sins. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. That thing that we could never thank him enough for. Praise the Lord. And of course, we know, as God being a spirit and all, that he is also invisible. And no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared it, as it tells us in John, the first chapter, in verse 18. Praise the Lord. And yes, we know from Colossians that he is the image of the invisible God, as it also emphasizes that point. Praise the Lord. But with all that being said, we're going to now turn to Philippians, the second chapter. Praise the Lord, and go into this. Praise the Lord, as we continue this study, show us the Father. Praise the Lord, that question that was asked as Jesus walked this earth. Praise the Lord. Philippians, the second chapter. Praise the Lord Jesus. So thank you, Lord. Let's go to verse 5 here. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we're going to gain a lot of understanding just from these verses. Here it explains in verse 6, who, talking about the Lord Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So praise the Lord. He was, you know, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, as it tells us in John, the first chapter. But that Word was made flesh. And here we're having a description of that here in the second chapter of Philippians, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But what did he do? And to me, again, this is so astonishing, that one so mighty, so great, the Creator, oh yes, would do this, as it tells us in verse 7. This is what he did. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now, Lord willing, we'll be going to Hebrews, the first chapter, and there it talks about, you know, it compares man to angels in that sense. You know, God, in his, you know, ability, his, you know, almightiness, he could have came in any form or manner that he chose. You know, it was all up to him. But, you know, he could have even come as a king, a recognized king, that is. You know, somebody that people would automatically have bowed to and recognized, but he didn't do that. It tells us again here in verse 7, he made himself of no reputation, very unknown, and took upon him the form of a servant. Again, he didn't even come as a lord, you know, I mean, a master of a household or anything like that. He came in the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He came as a man. And it tells us in verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I mean, it's just one overwhelming thing after the other. God Almighty doing this, who being in the form of God, he didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God, but he put himself in the form of a servant of no reputation, found in the likeness of men. And so, then, besides that, what does he do? He humbles himself to such a degree to take on the worst penalty of all, to be crucified. And I'll tell you what, that was the worst, you know. And there was a curse upon those that were crucified, as it tells us, I believe, in the book of Deuteronomy. But Jesus Christ did so, you know, because he was going to save us from our sins. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. Taking upon himself, you know, all that disgrace, all that dishonor, that shame, that reproach. You know, this is so amazing that God would do that. But it tells us in verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord. So, you know, that day is coming. As I've said so many times, the first time Jesus came, he came to save us from our sins. But when he comes again, oh yes, he's coming. Yes, to judge this world in righteousness. And at that point, oh my, he's not going to come as a lowly servant. Oh no, it's going to be altogether different. But they're going to suddenly know. They're suddenly going to recognize him, and every knee is going to bow. Oh yes, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everybody's going to know. Every tongue is going to confess. Every knee is going to bow. There are going to be no exceptions to that whatsoever. No matter how haughty, how prideful, how rebellious human beings may be at this moment, it's going to be different when he comes again. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he's going to come. And they're going to tremble. There's no way that they're going to be able to look him in the face unless they're free from sin. Oh, and that goes for all of us. But praise the Lord for his unspeakable gift. Thank God for what he did for us, so that he might redeem us, that he might reconcile us to him, to bring us back. Oh yes, to make a way so we could come to him. It's such a marvel now. And you know, I don't believe we'll ever stop marveling at the goodness of the Lord, of his great mercy, his compassion, and what he has done to redeem us. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Hebrews, the first chapter now. And here's more description here that describes the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Okay, and this is very good to note here. You know, he would come, you know, at his own choosing at various diverse times, and he would speak in various ways unto those that lived under the old covenant, and he would usually be speaking by the prophets. That's how they would hear the word of the Lord. Holy man of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, it tells us in 2 Peter, the first chapter. But there was a difference. It tells us here in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Okay, again, you know, Jesus was in the form of God from the beginning. You know, he was the Word made flesh. But, you know, he came, he put on flesh. He, you know, made himself a human being to come to this world. And he came, oh yes, to rescue us. He came to make himself known. And so there's a difference between the two dispensations there, that of the former time, and I guess really there's two dispensations. There's a period of the law, the time prior to the law, but now we're under that dispensation, a period of time of grace. And what a difference, because Jesus has come now. He came into the world, and yes, now he's been appointed heir of all things, and, you know, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3 is quite descriptive here. It says in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory. See, you know, how could you explain God? You know, he was everywhere. He was all over the place. You know, you can think of it as glory, you know? But, you know, the thing is, he came to this world, put himself in flesh, so, you know, he could walk among us, he could talk among us, we could see his face if we had lived at that time, and all. And so here it's explained as being the brightness of his glory. And then it says the express image of his person. Okay, so God coming, oh yes, to reveal himself to human beings. And it says, upholding all things by the word of his power. You know, God holds this world. It's standing because he, you know, it's moving. It's in orbit because God spoke this world into existence. And so it is. But it was by his word. You know, let it be. And so it was. Upholding all things by the word of his power. It's the power of God. And, you know, they're never going to explain that. But yes, it's because God spoke it and it's spinning. Nothing's holding it up. It's going around on its axis, so we explain it. It's orbiting. But you know, it's because God declared it and it was so, and he made it happen. But then it continues in verse 3, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So when that task was done, he could return to the heavens. And so he did, you know. That's why, you know, after he was on earth those 40 days after he was raised from the dead, he then ascended back into the heavens. His work was done. His redemptive work was done. He had done what was necessary to buy us back, to redeem us, to make a way. Oh yes, that we could have access to that throne of grace. Praise the Lord. And then it begins to compare Jesus Christ as a man to angels. It says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And then it says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. So he had definitely set apart from the angels. He had, by inheritance, it tells us, obtained a more excellent name than they. And, you know, goes on to say that, you know, never to any of the angels was it ever said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And, of course, you know, oh, it was seen, you know, again, you know, we know God was invisible. You know, no man has seen God at any time, again, there, as it tells us in John, the first chapter. But there was that time when the fullness of the time was come. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. So when that time was right, when it was fulfilled, every detail, every need, every scripture, when it was ready, that time, Jesus Christ came into the scene. And oh, what a thing it was, because yes, he was declared the begotten Son of God. Again, oh yes, this is what God chose, that he would be begotten of the Father. And we'll go into this just a little bit here. I plan to go back to Hebrews the first chapter, but I got a few other places to take you. Praise the Lord with his help. Praise the Lord. Just looking here at Psalms 2. Here, oh my, what a prophetic scripture this second chapter is. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And of course, that's, you know, they're attempting to do that now. And that's a whole study in itself, but oh my, there's that time, you know, when they all gather together against the Lord and, you know, his children. But it tells us in verse 4 here, Psalms, the second chapter, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Oh, no matter what kind of plans they make, oh yes, what kind of assumptions they have made and what kind of control they think they can assume. They're not going to be able to beat Almighty God. No, the Lord shall have them in derision. It says in verse 5, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. And again, yes, he came in mercy the first time to save us. But oh, when he comes to judge, if we're not, oh yes, hidden in Christ, if we've not been born again, free from our sin, there's going to be a scene of God in wrath. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Oh, it's not going to be fun at all. Oh, my, to see God in his wrath, in his anger. But nothing is going to stop the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. There he is, and every eye is going to see him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, and those that crucified him also, yes. All those that have lived are going to suddenly behold the Lord Jesus coming, this time not as a lowly babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. No, but he's all going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords when he comes this next time. But verse 7 says, I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And yes, it's foretelling that time when God would wrap himself in flesh and be born of a woman, born of a virgin, as it tells us in the 7th chapter of Isaiah, verse 14, coming to this earth as a son of God. And that declaration, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And he was the only begotten Son of God. You know, oh, some try to make Lucifer a son of God. And oh, there's all kinds of other types of thinking in this world. But he was the only begotten Son of God. And it happened, yes, that day he was born. Oh, yes, in that manger there in Bethlehem. It says in verse 8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Oh, it's going to be so important to be in Christ when he comes back at that moment. And by saying kiss the Son, it means make your peace with God Almighty. Oh, get right with him. You know, it's going to be wisdom, as it tells us in verse 10, to be instructed. Oh yes, that, you know, to listen and all of that. Oh, to serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. To make your peace with God. Kiss the Son lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Praise the Lord. But yes, he was declared to be the begotten Son of God. There's other places we could go to establish that likewise. But let's look in the book of Luke here for a moment as, the angel came to Mary. In Luke, the first chapter. Let's look at verse 20. Better start at 26. Verse 26 here. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And, you know, we notice whenever angels appeared suddenly, you know, to human life, you know, it seems like people were always, you know, shaken at that. It must have been really something to, you know, have an angel of the Lord or an angel come and you know, make a proclamation. But the angel put her at rest in verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And Jesus means Savior. It's the same as Hoshua or Joshua. It means Savior. Verse 32, he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. You see here, he's going to be called the Son of God, or the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So here we see how it was all to happen. Oh yes, God putting his spirit overshadowing this woman, this virgin woman. The Spirit of God, classified as the Holy Ghost here, coming upon her and overshadowing her to that point that she would conceive in her womb a child. And all these instructions are given. Oh yes, he was going to be quite the child, of course, you know. The Son of God, the Son of the Highest. He was going to have the throne of his father David, all prophesied in Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, and reigning over the house of Jacob forever, of his kingdom no end. And of course it was a marvel, how could this thing be? But it was because God was going to overshadow her by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And yes, conceive in her womb that child. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Go to the first chapter of Matthew, we find the instructions that were given to Joseph specifically. Because, you know, they were engaged at that point. There was an espousal, and you know, at that point, you know, you had to give a paper of divorcement in order to break an engagement. It was that serious. And you know, it tells us here in Matthew, the first chapter, it says in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. That Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And it explains in verse 22, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Praise the Lord, yes, and that's a quotation from Isaiah the 7th chapter, verse 14. His name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Oh, praise the Lord. Who was Jesus Christ? Yes, he was the Word of God made flesh. Oh, yes, he was the Son of God, the Son of the Highest. He was Emmanuel, which means God with us. God robing himself in flesh, being born of a woman. Oh, yes. To seek and to save those that were lost. Oh, praise the Lord. Tells us to finish this chapter, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Oh yes, Hoshua, the Savior, praise the Lord, the one that would deliver us, the Lamb of God, oh yes, who had come to take away the sin of the world, as John the Baptist himself declared. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Back here in Hebrews, the first chapter. Oh, yes, verse 6, where it says, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him." Oh, yes, we know how, yes, they all gathered there on the hills of Galilee, those shepherds that were abiding in the hills by night. And oh, yes, suddenly that heavenly host appeared. And yes, oh, yes, they could hear the glad tidings. Oh, yes, that unto them was born that day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it was to be as the angel of the Lord told them, those shepherds that were abiding in the field by night, that they would, oh yes, find that babe. "And this shall be a sign unto you," in Luke the 2nd chapter, verse 12, "ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Praise the Lord. "And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Praise the Lord. They knew in their hearts, all those heavenly messengers, that those angels of the Lord that had given them the glad tidings, the good tidings of great joy, which would be unto all people. Oh yes, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Praise the Lord. They came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. What a humble birth. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Praise the Lord. Yes, those tidings of great joy, which would be unto all people. So yes, as it tells us in Hebrews, the first chapter, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, verse 6, let all the angels of God worship him. Praise the Lord. And then it tells us in verse 7, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spears and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shall they fold them, they shall fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Oh yes, a great contrast there between the angels and he who was called the Son of God. Oh yes, he who was the brightness of the image and the glory of God. Oh yes, all those things, the Creator who came to this world as a man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One more verse I'd like to show you to this point there from Psalms 89. Psalms 89 and verse 27. Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Praise the Lord. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. Oh yes, the one who would come forth as a Savior. Yes, he was to be made as the firstborn of the seed of David, as the Savior of the world. Oh yes, God robed in flesh, the Son of the Highest, the one that was begotten of the Father, so to speak. Amen. Higher than the kings of the earth. Praise the Lord. Praise our mighty God. Praise our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So now, just going to go into a little different aspect here. There's something that sometimes is asked and maybe not understood. We're going to go to the first chapter of Romans here for a little here. And I want to illustrate how there was a dual nature in Jesus Christ. We've already covered it to some extent, but here I believe first chapter of Romans describes that. We look at verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now look at verse 3 here. It says, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So if you look at verse 3, we see that side of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, made of the seed of David according to the flesh. We look at the fourth verse, we see how he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So there were going to be these two things there. It was a body of flesh that indwelt in Jesus, but the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him, as it tells us in Colossians. And, you know, we have evidence of that as he walked this earth. You know, there were things that you couldn't explain any other way. His flesh, yes, as a man, he suffered, he died, he had to sleep, he would hunger, yes, and he prayed. His flesh was subject to the Spirit of God in that sense. He was as a man in that sense. But the Spirit of God was also indwelling in him. And we see that from the things that he knew that mortal man wouldn't know of himself. The things that he knew, the thoughts, even of those that he was ministering to. And the things that he did, the mighty miracles that he did. The casting out of devils. Oh yes, the healing of the sick. The opening of the blind eyes, making the lame to walk. Oh yes, delivering, yes, those that were bound. All those mighty things that he did. And oh yes, to emphasize that point, he even would forgive sin. Oh yes, which confused them, because those, for the most part, those that walked that earth at that point, those Jewish people, for the most part, they saw him only on the side of the flesh, as the son of Joseph. And, you know, he wasn't conceived of Joseph either. So they got that one wrong too. But that's all they could see, because they had eyes of flesh. They didn't see who Jesus Christ really was, that the Spirit of God indwelt in him, that he was the Christ, the Son of God. Oh yes, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the one who had been prophesied that would come. Oh yes, as it tells us in Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Oh, praise the Lord, that declaration that was made so long ago, that child that would be born, that son that would be given. Oh yes, the government would be upon his shoulders. His name, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus Christ came with all those attributes, and he came to establish his kingdom, a kingdom that he was beginning, in a kingdom that would never end. Oh, yes, upon the throne of David. Yes, as it had been prophesied, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth and even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It was going to be done. Oh, yes. And that increase of his government and of peace, no end. Oh, yes. And here we are, 2,000 years later. And praise the Lord, that Prince of Peace is still with us today. That Prince of Peace is still saving. Oh, yes, even to the uttermost. Oh, praise the Lord, we can still call upon him. Oh, yes, we can still feel his presence. He still walks among us and talks to us, fills that void in our hearts and in our souls. Oh, yes, it makes a difference in our lives. Oh, yes, that one came who came to seek and to save those that are lost. Oh, praise that King. kingdom that he established is still continuing. Oh yes, there's never going to be an end to it. Never, never, never. Praise the Lord. So he was declared to be the Son of God with power. And yes, according to the flesh, he was the seed of David. Yes. Let's also look here for a moment at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And it tells us in verse 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And, you know, when he says Christ, he's talking about the Messiah, and, you know, the one that they were waiting for, the one who was there talking to them at that moment. But, you know, even so, they didn't get it, did they? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Oh, this was, oh boy, the thing that really got them. They couldn't really answer. They realized that the Christ was going to be the son of David. That was well established in the Old Covenant. Yes, in the Old Testament, it was well established. And yes, they figured that. But, you know, David, oh, yes, speaking by the Spirit of God, he called him Lord. And also, you know, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And Jesus is asking them, if he's David's son, then how can he also be David's Lord? Well, praise the Lord, we can answer that, can't we? Praise the Lord, in the flesh he was born as the son of David. Yes, that, you know, that heritage, that background, yes, being born of that family of David through all those generations. But also he was, oh yes, he was also the Son of God. And so therefore he was God robed in flesh. And therefore David could call him Lord. Oh, the Anointed One. Yes, the Christ. In all those respects he was Lord of all. And yet he was David's son. And oh, that was a thing those Hebrew people for the most part did not want to acknowledge. They saw him as Joseph's son and didn't want to grasp the fact that he was God robed in flesh. The Son of God, the flesh of God. And you can think of that word, Son of God, as being the flesh of God. All of that, which, oh, yes, was all in the plan of God. And, oh, yes, the way that God was going to bring it forth. Praise the Lord. Let's go to a few other places here to cement that. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Acts, the 13th chapter. Acts 13, and let's see. Yeah, it's one of those messages given by Paul here, and he's kind of telling a bit of a history here, and he's talking about, the space of time. He's talking about Samuel here, after the period of the judges in verse 20. And after that, he gave unto them judges according to the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, who shall fulfill all my will. And then this proclamation here, verse 23 here in Acts 13, of this man's seed hath God according to his promise raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. And oh my, we could go to more there, but we'll stop right there for the moment. Let's go to Acts, the second chapter there, this sermon that Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost. Looking, I guess, to begin at verse 29, it says, Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Okay, so you see again the side where the flesh would come from, verse 30 here. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Oh yes, quoting there from Psalm 16, This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, on that day of Pentecost, oh, there was evidence, you know. Oh, my, as that Holy Ghost had fallen upon them, and they, you know, it wasn't a quiet little, you know, manifestation. No, they could see it and they could hear it. Oh, yes, they all heard them speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Yes, oh my, every man in his own language, you know, God speaking through those that had been filled with the Holy Ghost, those that had received the promise of the Father. Yes, so that is what he shed forth. That was the promise. That was the declaration that he had formerly made. This which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended unto the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. The works of God. Oh, yes. God coming to this earth to save his people. And it was accomplished. It was done. Yes, Jesus as a man suffered. Oh, Jesus as a man prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And yes, it was so, oh my, such a burden upon him as he knew what he was going to have to go through. And it tells us how he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood as he anticipated that which was going to happen. For you see, not only was he going to suffer on that cross of Calvary, but there was something else that was going to happen on that cross. He was going to take our sins. That is what he was going to do. He was going to take our sins, and what a cup that was. Oh, if it be possible, Lord, that this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, Lord, if it be possible. He was a man. He had flesh. He knew what it was going to be like, or he anticipated what it was going to be like to bear that pain, that suffering Oh, yes, the mocking, all that cruelty, all the things that he did deserve. But on top of it, the sin of the whole world, oh, the sins of those that he was dying for. And it's no wonder there, oh, as he prayed in that garden, oh, he could feel the agony of that moment. Oh, yes, he could, oh, anticipate what was going to happen. And oh, yes, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. You know, from what I understand, you know, when a person sweats blood, they're very close to death. Oh, my, there was Jesus in the garden praying. Oh, he'd asked, you know, his disciples, Peter, James, and John in particular, to watch with him, to pray with him. They were tired. Oh, and they couldn't quite do it. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. They just didn't have it. But Jesus knew what he was going to bear, and he had to bear it alone there in the garden, knowing, yes, very full well, yes, they were going to come. They were going to take him. Oh, you know, one that had walked among them, one that he had called, you know, his old friend Judas was going to lead the way, and they were going to, oh, yes, take him away. Oh, Judas was going to come. He would come with a kiss of betrayal. And that multitude that came with him, oh, yes, to get one, oh, that was so undeserving, one who was without sin, oh, one who didn't deserve to die in any shape or form. But there they were coming to get him like he was a criminal. Oh, like he was the worst of the worst. Oh, yes, and oh, taking him away. And then, oh, his own people declaring, crucify him, crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and our children. Oh, yes, yes, let Barabbas go free, but crucify him. Crucify the Son of God. Oh, Jesus knew what he was going to have to endure. But he prayed, you know, and it tells us somewhat in the 17th chapter of John, and though it doesn't specifically say that this was in Gethsemane, I rather think so. But just looking at a bit of John, the 17th chapter, it says in verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have surely known that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Oh, praise the Lord. And it goes on. But, oh, you see, yes, he was praying as a man here. Oh, he, you know, he knew that hour that was upon him. He that glory that had been with, you know, with God from the beginning there as a Father. He's praying as a flesh of God, as the Son of God there, to God Almighty, the Father. And yes, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. See, you know, it was all one and the same. But God put his seed in a woman. Oh, yes, so that there was a flesh that was conceived. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to this world as a man. God robed in flesh. And praise the Lord, that which was foreordained was accomplished. It was fulfilled. Jesus could say, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Oh, praise the Lord, and those that had been given him, the Father, were secure, would come to follow. And you know, it goes on to say, you know, he didn't pray to take them out of the world, but that God would keep them from the evil. And he did pray for those alone that had walked with him and those that, you know, had embraced his promises at that moment. But he prayed for all those that would believe on them through his word. In other words, he was praying for you. He was praying for me there. Oh yes, as he uttered this prayer, as the flesh of Almighty God was praying unto the Spirit of the living God, unto his Father. Oh, praise the Lord, our Heavenly Father. Can we even begin to, oh, just barely, you know, see what he has done? It's so hard to fathom this price that was paid, that he would come to this world as an unknown, as a servant, as a humble servant, and become obedient even unto death. Oh yes, that we might be restored, that we might have fellowship with him, that we might know him as our Lord and Savior, that we might be forgiven all our trespasses. Praise the Lord. Turning here to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, and here we have Jesus on the cross. And all the reviling, those wagging their heads, those mocking him, those saying, verse 40, that thou destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. And the chief priests mocking him, the scribes, the elders, you know, saying, verse 42, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Oh, they were in total disbelief. Oh, they were mocking. Oh, yes, they were making fun of him, and all of that. And even the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth, though we are told that, yes, one of them did turn to Jesus with remorse, and knowing that, you know, they were in the same kind of condemnation, but they justly deserved it, and that thief realized that he did, that Jesus Christ did not, and he asked for mercy, didn't he? Oh yes. And Jesus said that yes, the same hour he would be with him in paradise. But oh my, it tells us in verse 45 here in Matthew 27. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection. He went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. And it tells us, yes, that among them was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered, and we know that Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own tomb. But the point that I want you to see right now, Jesus was there on that cross. And it was dark from that sixth hour unto the ninth hour, from noon until 3 o'clock, our time. But about that ninth hour, Jesus cried with that loud voice, Eli, 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 lama sabachthani. In other words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We might ask, why did he cry that? Well, I'll tell you what, there is something else that was happening on this cross. Jesus had taken our sin on the cross. And at this moment, I mean, that cup, which I declare was so hard to bear, but here it was, not only the pain, the suffering, the mockery, all the cruelty, all the stripes and that they put on his back, and all that cruel crown of thorns that they laid on his head, and everything else, the mocking, the just from one thing to the next. But on top of that, his taking our sin, and the Spirit of God withdrew from him at that moment, because God does not abide in sin. It tells us in Habakkuk, the first chapter, verse 13, one of the characteristics of God, thou art a pure eyes that to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth a man that is more righteous than he? But God, being a pure eyes than to behold evil, he could not look on iniquity. And there was Jesus on the cross, taking our sin upon himself, oh yes, and crying, saying, as it had been foretold in Psalms, the 22nd chapter, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh yes, what he did, oh yes, to redeem us. Oh, we were like sheep that had gone astray. We had turned every one to our own ways, but the Lord laid upon him the iniquities of us all. Oh, that's what he was doing on the cross. He was taking our sin so that we could be forgiven, so that one day we could stand before him and have those sins taken, being forgiven, so that we could look upon God. Oh, so that he could see us. He's a pure eyes than to behold iniquity. He can't look upon sin. But praise the Lord Jesus Christ took our sins upon himself. He bore them upon the cross so that we might be forgiven our sins and our trespasses. Oh, that's why he was doing. That's why the Spirit of God withdrew from him and he was forsaken. He was there alone on that cross, bearing our sins. Oh, praise the Lord, the love of God. Oh, yes. How could we ever describe, oh yes, that plan of God, that he would come to this earth, that he would put on flesh and come to this earth as a servant, as a lowly unknown, and then bear the cross of Calvary and take our sins upon himself. Oh, praise the Lord, the Lamb of God. Oh, the one that forgiveth the sins of the world. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord, we who were just sheep that had gone astray. Oh, who had turned everyone to his own ways. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's what he did for us. That perfect Lamb of God. Oh, that one that put on flesh to save us from our sins. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And oh, yes. One day we're going to see him as he is. That's right. We're going to behold him. Oh, yes. And we're going to acknowledge him and know him. Praise the Lord. Thank God that we've had this opportunity to give our lives to him. If there be any, oh, yes, that have not yet turned their lives over to the Lord Jesus, I beg you to do it now, to come to him now, to turn your life over to him now, to bow the knee now, because surely if you do not, there's that day that it'll be too late. Oh, yes. Do it now, please, friend. Do it now. Come to Jesus now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, the one who forgives our sins, oh, and delivers us from this world of iniquity. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you for what you did for us, God. Thank you, Lord, oh, God, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. To show us the Father, and it suffices us. Praise the Lord.